One of the toughest challenges for Christians today is to find a good church, a place where the gospel is powerfully preached, where worship is reverent, and the people have a genuine love for one another. Hi, I'm Mike Brown, pastor of Christ United Reformed Church in Santee, and I invite you to worship with us on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We also have Sunday school classes for all ages, including adults. For more information, visit our website at christurc.org. That's christurc.org.
Proclaiming the good news to a needy world. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
There is a wonderful verse in the first epistle to John that says, when our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts and knows all things. We have a conscience in us, and often that conscience assaults because of the terrible things that we do against God and against His love. And because of that sincere conscience, we wonder how ever we could be right with this God. Will God ever really forgive us? Will God ever really let it go? Won't God hold against us the very things that we have done against His law when He has declared in the Scriptures, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to do them? This is a great question, and probably the greatest question, dear listener, that you will ever ask. And we are going to tackle that today on Abounding Grace Radio. Thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace. As always, we invite you to visit us on the web at agradio.org. Again, agradio.org. The phone number is 888-504-8805. And we would love to hear from you. Do please write to us or call us. It encourages us a great deal when we know that our listeners are being blessed by the program. Well, this is Friday. Mike Brown's with us, and we're continuing our study in the Heidelberg Catechism. Mike, I've been encouraged by the response as I have people, they write in and tell us that they are really soaking in the truths of the Christian faith. And again, hearing over and over, we didn't even know that something like this existed. I think sometimes Christians go forward and don't realize there's a history, and they don't understand that the major core doctrines of the Christian faith have been put down for us by people who have gone before summarizing our faith. And when they find it, it's like they've opened up a treasure chest and realize that we can have these things for us very simply to understand in this question and answer format of the Heidelberg Catechism.
Yeah, the Heidelberg Catechism, as I've said before, is one of the best summaries you will find anywhere on the planet of the Christian faith. I was probably 26, 27 when I read it for the very first time. And like many of our listeners, I was blown away by its clarity, its simplicity, its profundity. And so I want to encourage you, all who are listening to this, if you would like a copy of the Heidelberg Catechism, we'd be happy to provide that to you, a hard copy free, or you can get online and find it. You can go to christurc.org, and we have it up on our website there. But it's an excellent summary that takes you through the core doctrines of Christianity, guilt, grace, and then how we are to live in gratitude. And it also covers one of the most important doctrines that was debated and brought into clarity during the time of the Protestant Reformation, the doctrine of justification by faith alone, which we're talking about today.
Right. And this is, we're right in the heart of the grace section, and this is that great question that we're dealing with today. How can you be right with God? So remember, these are put down in Lord's Days for us. Today we come to Lord's Day 23, and we have, really, this is in the heart also of the study of the Apostles' Creed. And we're looking here at this entire section, life everlasting, and now it concludes that, and now we're moving into this great doctrine of justification by faith alone. So question answer 59, what good does it do you, however, to believe all this? So we've looked at the Apostles' Creed, we've looked at all the core doctrines of the Christian faith, and so the good question that then follows is, well, why? What good does this do? Why should we believe all this? Listen to this answer. In Christ, I am right with God and heir to life everlasting. A wonderful truth here. I've been joined to Christ, union with Christ. I've been joined to him. And there's a wonderful truth that we can now talk about. It is the wonderful doctrine of justification by faith alone. How I could ever be right with this God and then be heir to life everlasting. As I said to start the program, Mike, isn't this the great struggle of people today? Isn't this what's constantly on their minds? They do things that are wrong. Their conscience rises up against them. Maybe they've wrecked their marriage. Maybe they've wrecked their life. And then everything has then now exposed. It's all been brought out into the open, and they panic. They realize my life is way out of whack. I'm a mess. Maybe I'm addicted to alcohol. I mean, we could go through 100 scenarios here of real sin that then shows itself in the destruction of somebody's life. And people feel this. Maybe it's just daily struggling with sin. And they wrestle with this question, you know, is God against me or is he for me? How could we ever know that God could be for me? Isn't that a question that all of us struggle with?
Absolutely. That is a core question that every human struggles with, whether or not you have had a destructive lifestyle. Right. I mean, it's certainly true for the person who's had a wrecked marriage or is addicted to alcohol, but we've all made what we call mistakes, right? We're all filled with some sense of remorse or regret for the things that we have done. If we could go back and do it over, maybe we would do some things differently. We know at core that we're not perfect people. And that's because the law was written on our heart in creation to love God and to love neighbor. And so we carry around with us a certain amount of guilt. Everybody does. The question is, what do you do with that guilt? Right. Do you suppress it? Do you try to tell yourself, hey, I'm not a bad person. I'm a good guy. I'm not as bad as the guy over there. I've never killed anybody, or I've never done this, or I've never done that. And so we try to justify ourselves. It's really the art of self-justification, which is funny because that's what Adam and Eve did in the garden, right? When God came and confronted Adam, he said, well, it was the woman that you gave me. She gave me the fruit and I ate. And the woman said, well, it was the serpent. He deceived me. And so we try to shift the blame. We look for some way to justify ourselves in the eyes of God because we have consciences that accuse us, that they hold us accountable for the things that we've done wrong. But the thing is that there is a way to know for sure that you are righteous in God's eyes, not based on what you have accomplished, which will never be good enough, but on the basis of what Christ has accomplished. That is the beauty of this biblical doctrine, and it's really the heart of the gospel.
I think this is so important to capture. There's an initial hurdle here before you'll ever appreciate this doctrine. This is just what you described, Mike, this big hurdle of a recognition of what I am. I mean, what do we constantly hear from the culture? Listen to your heart, follow your heart. Your heart's good. And every false teacher tells you, for this problem that Mike just described of a burdened conscience, a guilty conscience, you can know a false teacher by where he tells you to turn. What does a false teacher tell you to turn? What do all the spiritual gurus today tell you to turn? Inward. They tell you to look inward. And God has told you what's inward. It's like lifting hell's lid. That heart is deceitful and corrupt and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Well, then when God is giving us his law, he's pointing his finger and he's saying, you are the one who has broken my law. Now, there's two ways you could go. You could say, like we deal with often as pastors, I'm not bad. I have not sinned. Leave me alone. That's one response. Or the other response could be, you know what? I've done it. I'm not hiding it anymore. I'm done. I'm tired of hiding. I admit it. I agree with God's law. It's good. If he were to judge me, he's just. When you get there, now we're ready to talk about and appreciate the doctrine of justification by faith alone. And so question answer 60 asks this. How are you right with God then? How can someone with a burdened conscience, somebody who's truly distressed about sin, who knows who they are, how could they ever be right with a holy, just, pure God that has to judge sin? Well, let's just start with this. Only by true faith in Jesus Christ. That really requires, Mike, us then understanding what faith is, doesn't it?
Right. Faith is embracing Jesus Christ in trust. Faith is not only a sure knowledge that what God reveals in his word is true. It's not only an understanding of the facts, God is holy, I am sinful, Christ is righteous, Christ died for my sins. It's also agreeing that those facts are true, but then most importantly, placing our trust in Christ, embracing Christ. Why? Because Christ is the only one who has done all things perfectly. You see, God demands of us a perfect righteousness because God is righteous. And he wants from those whom he created in his image, all human beings, to reflect his righteousness and his holiness. Our problem is we cannot produce that righteousness. We were conceived and born in sin. So we fail in our words, our thoughts, our deeds. We fail in the things we've done. We fail in the things we've left undone. There is, as Romans tells us, as Paul tells us in his letter to the Romans in chapter 3, there is none righteous, no, not one. No one who understands, no one who seeks for God, all have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. There's no fear of God before their eyes. Mm. So what Paul does in Romans 3 is he shows us this is why you have a conscience that nags you. This is why you have to tell yourself, I'm not a bad person. You have to suppress that voice in your heart that says, man, I've done some bad. Well, what Paul does is he shows us this is objectively true in God's eyes. And then he sums it all up by saying, for by works of the law, no human being will be justified in God's sight. Works of the law, meaning those things that I have done or that we try to do that are good. You know, if what we tend to think in our minds is that if I do enough good, God will weigh that out against the bad. Right. And if I've done more good than bad, then okay, I'll get into heaven or he'll accept me because I'm not as bad as other people. You know, you sort of make the draft, so to speak, because you made it somewhere in the middle. You weren't the worst, you weren't the best, but you know, he won't reject you. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says you have to reflect perfect righteousness, and only Christ has done that. So faith embraces the one who is perfectly righteous. Faith trusts in Christ to get us to heaven. Faith doesn't look at ourselves and our own achievement, our own performance. Faith looks at Christ's achievement, Christ's performance.
Right. I really appreciate that. I think it's so important to emphasize because we just repeatedly hear this today. We repeatedly hear, you know, I've lived decently a moral life. I've done enough. And that, listen, that's the worst thing you want to say before the Lord. That's the absolute worst thing, because if you keep all the commandments and yet break one, let's just say you only broke one in your life, God says, actually, you've broken them all then. Even one little sin is worthy of his judgment. And so that's why the Heidelberg says here, well, how then could I ever be right with a holy God who can't tolerate sin, who can't just as a just judge, and you know this about a bad judge, an unjust judge lets things go. This one can't. So how then could you ever be right with him? Well, the answer is this: even though my conscience, Mike just talked about that, that voice inside of you accuses you of having grievously sinned against all of God's commandments and of never having kept any of them. Now that assumes you accept that about yourself. And even though I am still inclined toward all evil, yes, you're still struggling with that and you're still going to until you die. Nevertheless, without my deserving it at all, you never worked up enough in you to be liked by God. Do you understand that? That's so important to say. Out of sheer grace, unmerited favor, he looked down out of the good pleasure of his will. What did he do? God grants to you and credits to you the perfect satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ, as if I had never sinned nor been a sinner, as if I had been perfectly obedient as Christ was obedient for me. Now that's so beautiful, because as Mike just emphasized, Christ was obedient for me. He stood in my place. Not only did he shoulder the curse on the cross when he said it's finished, but his whole life, he kept the law for me. And so, dear listener, think of God when you believe in Jesus and you embrace him and trust him, God casting a giant robe on you. A beautiful robe of many colors. It's Christ's perfect righteousness, where he credits to you Everything that Jesus did, and he never sinned. Remember, he never broke any of God's law. He put himself under it, became the curse to release us. That robe is what he covers you in. He imputes that to your account as if you had never sinned nor been a sinner.
Right. Credit and impute, those are actually biblical terms. The Greek word is logizomai, and Paul uses it in Romans chapter 4. And what we have to understand is that it's an accounting term. It's just like when we transfer funds from one account to the other. And what happens is by faith, we receive that. God credits, or he transfers the funds of Christ to us. He who knew no sin, 2 Corinthians 5:21, became sin for us. Our sin was transferred to Christ upon the cross so that in him we would become the righteousness of God. In other words, the very righteousness that God demands of us, he provides to us in Jesus Christ. That is the heart of the gospel. The law, what the law demands of us, the gospel provides. That is the glory and the beauty of God then declaring us. This is really what justification is. It's a legal act whereby God declares us righteous, perfect in his sight for the sake of Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean that we are intrinsically righteous.
Right, very important.
It means rather that God sees us as being righteous. He regards us as being righteous. Like you said, Chris, that the robe that's placed on us, we now, yes, we still have hearts inside that struggle with sin, but God sees us as being perfect and acceptable in his sight because what Jesus obtained, you know, the A that he got on the test has now been imputed, credited to us, and that's what God sees.
And there's imagery of this all over the Bible. I mean, I can't help, as you described that, Mike, to think of the prodigal son. He's in the pigsty. I mean, just giving you something practical here. He's in the pigsty. He's been eating the pods that pigs eat. He's covered in crap. and that's a whole representation of, Mike's laughing right now that I said that. But it's true, right?
It won't be beeped out. Right?
He's covered in that shows us the mess of our lives, the mess of our hearts. But when he came to himself, he comes home.
Right.
And what does the Father do? Just think of the imagery here. The Father takes the robe of his son and he throws it on the pigsty's son. And he covers him and he kills the fatted calf and he puts a ring on him and he receives him into the house, embraces him. That son is cleansed. That son is clean in his sight. Luther used to call this the great exchange.
Right.
And I think it's so important to have that imagery of a great exchange. The robe that was on the pure son is cast on us, and our muck and our filth is cast upon Christ. That's what he did on the cross. That's what he bore. That's what he paid for to release us from all of this fear of death, which is really important, and this conscience that accuses us so that we can now live in full assurance of faith that God is for me and not against me because of Christ being obedient for me.
That's right. And it's so pastoral in that way. When we have a conscience that accuses us, which is every day, right? I mean, every day I struggle as a Christian and especially as a pastor. I think, you know, who am I to preach the Bible and to teach the Bible to others? And, you know, the conscience accuses me. You're not a good Christian. You don't have enough faith. You're not good enough. You still think wicked thoughts. You still lose your temper. You still think this or do that. But I have to always remember, it's not my performance that God regards as righteous and good enough for heaven. It's Christ's performance. And by looking at Christ's performance by faith, I actually grow in my desire to please my Father with good works. Good works then are produced because of faith. Good works then flow out of what God has done for us in Christ. But it's only because of Christ, as Paul says in Romans 3, it's only because of his righteousness that he earned by his perfect obedience in his life that God can be both the just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. That's so important for us to grasp and to understand. God's justice has to be satisfied. That means that somebody had to be perfectly righteous and somebody had to pay the penalty for those who aren't in order for God to justify those who aren't. And in Jesus Christ, God is both the just and the justifier of those who have faith in Christ.
Now, someone might be listening and thinking, they're trying to grasp this whole concept because it's, I don't know if how well it's being explained today. We don't hear this preached very often. And so, you know, someone might be saying, well, I've been a terrible adulterer in my life. I've done some terrible things. And we want to remind you at this point that one of the key figures that the Lord used in Scripture to teach us this doctrine was David himself. David, who had committed adultery with Bathsheba, David, who had had a man murdered. In Romans chapter 4, which is the heart of Paul's teaching on justification, Paul employs David's use of Psalm 32. Blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven. Blessed is the man whom the Lord will not impute iniquity. He's not going to do that. That all assumes, and he goes on to explain justification by faith, that the reason that's not so is because Jesus has shouldered that curse. He became the curse for us so that we will never have to become that curse. That's the only basis. It's not because you're ever going to do enough to get out of it. It's because Jesus covers you. Well, you say, well, what do I need to do? What do I need to do to get that? Here's the beauty of this. The Heidelberg in this question and answer ends by saying, all I need to do is receive this gift of God with a believing heart. I need to embrace Jesus. This is what we give as pastors, don't we, Mike? We tell people, believe in Jesus and you will be saved. This is what's done. This is the exchange that happens. And that's why that plea of believing is so important today. I know you've probably heard it, dear listener, all your life. Believe in Jesus, believe in Jesus. But here's why you need to. Because you need his righteousness.
That's right. And it seems too good to be true. But it's what God declares in his word. It is the good news. It's the gift. We don't earn it. We don't work for it. As Paul says in Romans 4, now to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. And to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. Or as Paul says in Galatians 2, we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law, no one will be justified. In other words, your works, your good deeds cannot justify you before God. God will not regard you as righteous because of your good deeds. He will regard you as righteous because of Christ's good deeds. That's why. I had a pastor once, Pastor Andrew Kaminga, who put it this way. He was my first Reformed pastor, and he had a good analogy. He said it would be like this. If you died and you were standing at the gates of heaven and you were met by an angel, and he asked you, are you on the list? And you said yes, and he went down the line, he found your name, and he says, are you this person? There's a description here under your name. And under this description, it says that when you were reviled, you never reviled in return. It says that you always did good. It says you fed the poor, you clothed the naked, you even raised the dead, you visited those in prison. Is this you? And now we know that that description, of course, is a description of Jesus. And yet we would be able to say, yes, that is me, because what Christ earned has been credited to us.
Right.
And you can no more be thrown out of heaven than the Lord Jesus Christ can be thrown out of heaven. Faith embraces that. When we say believe in Jesus, this is what we mean. Bank on what Christ has accomplished. That's what will get you into heaven. Christ. Faith looks to Christ.
You know, I just want to say, people could hear this preached, but when it finally sets in, it will overwhelm you. I just think about when I was finally grasped this. I was 21, Mike, and you know, I sat in a church all my life. Mm-hmm. I had this doctrine preached to me, but it was never opened up to my heart and mind. And then finally one day, I got it. I was like, you mean God provides this righteousness for me in his son? I could say with all the other saints that came before me, I was a new man.
Right. It clicked.
It clicked. And we hope maybe this program did that for you. That's our goal. That's our prayer. I mean, it's one of the more enjoyable programs I think I've ever done with Mike Brown. So I hope that it has really blessed you. And if you have any questions about this, feel free to call Mike Brown, call me on this issue. We'll help you with this. We want to see you in church too. So we invite you to come and hear this gospel preached, to hear justification by faith alone. alone preached at Christ United Reformed Church in Santee and the Escondido United Reformed Church. And if this is airing in your area where we're not available, there are other churches on our website that you can find that preach this. So do please go to our website at aegradio.org and locate that. Look the maps for the maps there and find a church where the gospel's preached so that you can be edified and grow more in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, thanks for tuning in today. Thank you, Pastor Mike Brown, again for being with us from Christ United Reformed Church in Santee. And thanks for being with us. Join, visit us again at agradio.org. And don't forget to call us at 888-504-8805. That phone number is 888-504-8805. We'd love to hear from you, and you can also support us there. Thanks for being loyal listeners to Abounding Grace Radio. Until next time, may this gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in all of its glory continue to richly bless you.
Thank you for listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll-free at 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Contact us through the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. We're on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station and subscribe in iTunes or use our free Android app. We trust this program has encouraged you to trust in Christ for your standing with God and to live in His abounding grace.